As I begin my homily today, I invite you to use your imagination. Imagine you're in a tunnel, standing on a train track. A train is racing towards you. There's no time to run back. The walls of the tunnel are pressed up against the track. You can't escape to the left or to the right. You can't get out. The train is coming. There's no way to avoid it. Something similar was happening to women caught in adultery, as we just heard in today's gospel. In the Jewish law, the three gravest sins were idolatry, murder, and adultery. All three were punishable by death. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, knew it. She can't escape. The penalty is death by stoning. So she's expecting to be put to death. Maybe she's wishing she had a second chance. The cruelty of the Pharisees must be terrible for her. They really don't care about her at all or defending the sanctity of marriage. They just wanted to use her to trap Jesus. But worst of all must have been the shame. We've all sinned. We've all experienced shame. That burning desire to hide under a rock and to disappear. Imagine how great her shame must have been. And the crowd is mocking her. However, Jesus does not condemn her. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." He forgives her. Don't we all long to hear those words from Jesus, our Lord? You know, St. Augustine, commenting on this gospel we just heard, said that a great misery meets a great mercy. And this leads to true conversion. And St. John Paul II once said, and I quote, "We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us, a real capacity to become the image of his Son," end of quote. When we meet that love in Jesus, it moves us to change response. It calls us to conversion, to repent. Remember, Jesus never confirms or condones sin. He never does that. This is why Jesus says to the woman, "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Also, there is an unspoken tragedy in our gospel today as well, one that is unspoken. So let me unpack it. There was also a man equally guilty as the woman, and as far as we know, he did not encounter our Lord Jesus and his divine mercy. He did not hear him speak those powerful words of mercy. "Neither do I condemn you. Go, from now on, do not sin anymore." We are all sinners, and we're all called to a new relationship with God. In humility, we need to approach Jesus as sinners. And when we do, we leave forgiven. And this happens in the sacrament of confession. This indeed does happen in that great sacrament of mercy, which is confession. When we go to confession, God is with us. Christ heals us, fills us with his joy, challenges us to be saints. Jesus says to us, as he did to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." This next week is really the last kind of opportunity to go to confession before Easter. And I'll expand upon more of that in the announcements at the end of Mass. But nonetheless, we need reminders to go to confession. But also we need reminders to help us take heart divine mercy. So let me share with you a visual reminder that helps us take to heart the mercy of our Lord Jesus. A good example of this is actually found in Mel Gibson's version of this gospel scene, as it appears in his movie, The Passion of the Christ. I believe that movie is nearly 20 years old. If you've not seen it, I would encourage you to watch it, but don't watch it alone. The depiction of our Lord Jesus' passion is quite brutal, very harsh, and very bloody. But that's what our Lord went through for the sake of our salvation. So maybe you can make it as part of your Lenten practice during these last 14 days. But the way that Mel Gibson depicts this encounter between Christ and adulterous woman illustrates the power behind God's divine mercy. In the movie, Gibson identifies the adulterous woman with Mary Magdalene. who stays right by the side of the Blessed Virgin Mary as they accompany Jesus throughout his passion. The only reason we know that Mary Magdalene is the same person as the adulterous woman because of a flashback that happens after the scourging at the pillar scene. Mary and Mary Magdalene are in a courtyard after all the soldiers have left. They see Jesus' precious and sacred blood on the paving stone. Jesus' Blessed Mother Mary takes some clean white linens, kneels down, and starts to wipe up that precious blood. A moment later, Mary Magdalene also kneels down to help. But instead of using one of the clean linens, Magdalene actually removes her veil and uses that to wipe up Christ's blood. In this way, she's showing how personal this gesture is for her. And in a moment, we find out why. While she is wiping up the blood, she has a flashback. And the movie takes us back to her first encounter with Jesus, the one in which she was the adulterous woman. We see her cowering on the dusty ground as a crowd of angry Pharisees stand ready to stone her. Then Jesus steps into the scene. We don't hear any words, but we know what he's saying. He's saying that powerful line that we heard in the gospel. Let him who has no sin throw the first stone. We see the Pharisees one by one drop their stones and walk off. Then Mary Magdalene reaches out and touches Jesus' feet. She looks up at him with wonder, gratitude, and almost disbelief. She has been saved. Jesus reaches down and takes her hand in his, smiles, and lifts her up to a new life. Then the beautiful flashback ends, and we're brought back to the scene in the courtyard. Now the blood she is wiping up means as much to us as it does to Mary Magdalene. This is the precious blood of our Savior, her Savior and our Savior as well, the one who is giving himself up to death for our salvation, so he can give us sinners another chance, a hope for eternal life in heaven. It was simply sin no more. This is how much Jesus loves us. We must see Jesus' mercy in his most precious blood, or to say it more completely, his sacrifice of the cross, as being linked together. You know, as St. Paul writes in his first letter to Corinthians, and I quote, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 through 27. The sacrament of confession, we meet Jesus face to face. And through the words of the priest, we hear the words of Christ forgiving us. Lent is a time of conversion, a time of repentance, turning back to God who loves us. It's also a wonderful time to go to confession. Though this last Thursday we had our penance service. Nevertheless, the church asks us under holy obedience to go to confession at least once a year. It's been more than a year since your last confession. Now is the time to go. But I would encourage you, if there's maybe some anxiety or fear, or maybe you had a bad encounter with the previous priest, maybe it was a little cranky or something, bring it to prayer. Say, "Lord, I just don't want to go to confession. I'm afraid maybe what the priest is going to think or say. Or I'm afraid, I have anxiety." Kind of express it in your own words. And just simply, "Lord, ask the Lord for help. Say, Lord, help me to go to your great sacrament of mercy." When we draw near to Christ in that sacrament of mercy, he's able to forgive us. And he never forces us. He respects our freedom. But there's nothing he wants more than to forgive us and give us the peace to receive him worthily in Holy Communion. And finally, we also know in the gospel, our Lord says that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Let's give God that joy. Let's give Jesus that joy. And also in trust and in faith, let's follow Christ, who is our good shepherd, who leads us into life everlasting. Amen.